Hey, KT from KT Got Game. We've got a full complement of players this week. Zach, producer Tone, Jabbar, join us in the studio. I've been on hiatus, but we're back. We talk about the Super Bowl, Colin Kaepernick, Joe Flacco, Baltimore Ravens, San Francisco 49ers. As always, we get into the Lakers, a little bit about the D12 and Kobe Bryant controversy that seems to only grow week by week. And then again, why is D'Antoni still the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers? All-star snubs, who should have been in, who's out. And then we talk about what new section we have. It's called GM, and what changes each of the guys in the studio would make to a particular team. This week we talked about the Lakers, Boston Celtics, Miami Heat, and your Minnesota Timberwolves. And then we wrapped it up with some good this or that. Friday, Pinky, Debo, I'll leave it at that. You got to listen to hear the rest. KT Got Game.
To the top, wait for a bit or more. Seesaw on summit that you've never seen before. It came back, reversed. I need proof for what it's worth.
All right, we are back. KT Got Game. We had a perfect back, fresh off the cruise.
Yep.
Flavor Flav.
Yeah, met Flavor Flav on the cruise, man. Hey, met him on the cruise, man.
So. That's a legend, man. Yeah, Flavor Flav is a legend in the hip hop game, man.
He's the greatest hype man.
Greatest hype man of all time.
You can say whatever you want about him now. He's epic.
Yep.
Well, he's kept his name going too. Flavor Flav he's been smart with his brand, man.
Yeah,
he's been very smart with his brand.
Definitely.
People still know his name, you know. You said he was rocking the clock, man.
He had the clock on. It was in full effect.
Do those clocks work, or is it just style?
You know, I think it's
They work.
And I think it is more style, you know. But, yeah, he definitely had the clocks on. And, you know, he's very personable, very nice guy. So, you know, much respect to Flav.
I got a confession, man. I had a clock in elementary school.
For real?
Nice.
He wore it?
Yeah.
The teachers let you get down like that?
Of course.
Okay. Okay. No, I couldn't even do it, man. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL first. I thought this was a good section we had, so we'll keep it going. If I'm not mistaken, Jabbar had the Ravens.
Yeah.
Tone had the Niners. I had the Niners. Zach, you said you had
I had the Ravens, man.
You're switching it now. Man.
No. You want to play it back?
We need to go to the tape.
I'll pull the tape up.
All right. Zach,
you know what? The cliche thing to say is you just wanted to see a good game. But towards the middle of the game, I was pulling for Colin Kaepernick. I can't lie.
Jabbar, what'd you think about the 34-minute hiatus hurt the Ravens?
It did, and I'm not I can't stand the conspiracy theorists. You know, Vegas did it and he did it, but I think we all play sports before. We know how momentum shifts easily, so I do think it had a little bit to do with it, but. If they lose the game, it's not because of that break. It's because they lost the game. You still got to finish the game.
That's true.
We've seen San Francisco come back against Atlanta. So, I mean, for them to make a comeback, I wasn't shocked by that at all. I do feel like it could have helped somewhat because, I mean, after Jacoby Jones took that kickoff back at halftime, I thought it was over with.
Right.
So, I mean – for San Francisco, hey, it probably was good. Like, hey, pull the plug, stop this, because stop the bleeding.
Right. Because
they were, you know, they were getting busted up.
Now, I generally respect Bill Cowher, but I was upset with him and Boomer or Phil. I can't remember which one. When they were talking about pulling Kaepernick.
That was ridiculous.
Did you hear? I was like, what are they talking? Like, this man has led you for the last 8 games. He's not the sole reason, but a big part of the reason you're here. Even if you lose... He's 25, so he's going to get this experience and be back next year or the year after that. And they're saying, put Alex Smith in. I'm thinking that's – and then, you know, the next series, he's leading them to a touchdown, and then they're back in the game. You know, I thought that was – like I said, I generally respect Bill Cowher, but I thought that was silliness on his part. What did you guys make of that?
I would just say Bill Cowher, like I said, I respect him, respected coach, but he was out of bounds on that one. I don't understand. I mean, this guy – he gives you the best chance to win. Colin Kaepernick gives you the best chance to win. And this is no disrespect to Alex Smith. I mean, he was a third-ranked rated quarterback before he suffered an injury. So he's capable of getting it done. But Kaepernick has a dynamic that he doesn't have. Kaepernick has the it factor. He can get those balls in a tight spot. He runs the read option way better, which was really the key to the offensive success. So to say that, that's come on.
Who do you guys think will be in a Super Bowl first again, Cap or Flacco?
Oh, Cap.
You think so?
Because he has a better supporting cast, a younger core group. I think the Ravens. I think Flacco's a stud, actually. But I think their defense is a little older. You know, they're gonna lose some key guys. Ray Lewis wasn't playing at you know the level we're accustomed to seeing him playing at. But you can't put a price or a premium on leadership. I think they're gonna miss that. But I think they're both gonna be good. But I think San Francisco will get back next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of how they play, they run the ball, play defense. That'll get it done in any sport.
Zach, what about you?
Yeah, I would say Kaepernick too. I think for Flacco, it's going to take a while. They'll be rebuilding on the defense. You don't know about Ed Reed. Ed Reed could be going somewhere else. Ray Lewis's retirement. I mean, that leaves Suggs, who's getting up there in age. I think Nada's still just Haloti Nada's the best interior lineman in the NFL, and he'll be around for a long time. So they do have somebody to build the defense around. But I just think you look at how young San Francisco is. I mean, you have Kaepernick, you have Vernon Davis, you have Michael Crabtree. You know, Frank Gore's getting up there in age, but they still have LaMichael James and,
right.
you know, all best
these linebacker
other guys.
Core.
And
in
I mean,
game.
The linebacker, I mean, Bowman. Willis,
Alden Smith,
Whitner, Alden Smith. I mean, these guys.
Secondary's young.
It's yeah. I don't. They'll be
so
right
you think
back there
back?
In the mix.
Now, who do you think has a better seat? I'm partial to Cap. Like I love Cap, so
yeah.
I'm a 49ers fan next year.
Yeah, definitely.
Until they play the Vikings,
of course.
And then after that, I'm a 49ers fan.
Right.
I just like his story. I said this last week. Flacco played well, man. I can't hate on him. He played well.
Great, yeah, good.
But I think, like I said, I don't know a lot about football, but I know what I see. And Cap's balls look different than Flacco's ball. And Flacco throws a nice ball, but Cap in that second half started whipping that thing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, he threw two nice ones to Crabtree and Davis, and they
yeah.
were right off the tips. And they showed it in the slow
yeah.
motion. I'm like, that's got to be tough to put that in there, you know, just the way it did.
And I'll say that 15 to 20 yards, I'll take Kaepernick all day. But I think Joe Flacco throws one of the best deep balls in the game. I mean, he throws it
that
up there.
That one to Jones was nice.
I mean, it was kind of underthrown, but, I mean, the balls he threw to, you know, the balls he threw to Anquan Boldin and with the spots he's putting it in. I mean, you look what you saw was excellent quarterback play in that Super Bowl.
I agree.
Ray Lewis, I think that – I don't know what you guys think about this. I think that – majority of NFL players are on some kind of banned substance. That's just my opinion. I don't think that you can bang bodies like that week in and week out and not be doing something.
Right.
I lift weights, right? I mean, you lift the weights competitively. You know what weights can do. And I just don't think weights alone and good diet and sleeping well and getting rest can, you know, even for the 25, 27-year-old. So when I heard the story, I know Ray came out and denied it. I know the Ravens came out and denied it. That's his right. But if you asked me to put money on it, I would say he used a substance. That would just be my opinion. And I think they all, you know, nobody's – I mean, we saw it with Lance Armstrong. He denied until he could no longer deny, and then
right.
he admitted. So I wouldn't have expected him to say, yes, I used it. But I have – you know, as shady as this dude is, it sounds like, you know, from what I read that he gave Ray the – Ray asked for it. He gave Ray the stuff. The stuff is banned. You know, you asked for it and you didn't use it? Come on, Ray. I don't know.
The deer antler spray?
Yeah.
You know what? I think nothing.
You know,
less
Alabama was spraying it in their mouth before the championship.
Last year, right? He gave the same stuff to them.
This year, yeah.
Oh, was it this year?
Yeah.
Okay. What were you going to say, Tone?
I think nothing less of him after all this. He's still the best defensive player of my childhood.
Yeah.
You know, farewell, Ray Lewis. More power to him.
I think he's.
Super Bowl.
I hold him in, as Zach knows, I hold him in high regard. I think he's the best leader that I've ever seen.
I
the
will
best
give you
leader
that. I
of
do
men
think that.
That I've ever seen in
I do think that.
Any sport.
Yeah, I like that.
And I'm going to take this, and I don't want to – I don't care if Ray Lewis drank whale pee to get back on the field. I don't care because at the end of the day, I want to see Ray Lewis play. I want to see the best players play. I think that people want to make a problem of it, but the product is so good and there's millions and billions to be made playing football, I think that, you know, everybody's turning a blind eye to this.
Right.
So for me, like baseball, for, you know, the whole steroid use in baseball. So when baseball had the strike and there's nobody coming to the ballpark no more, all of a sudden Sammy Sosa and McGuire start knocking home runs out of the park in this home run chase. And now there's excitement about baseball. You turn a blind eye to it and then you don't let them in the Hall of Fame. And they actually brought the game of baseball back. So for me, I don't.
And I think if we were really able to get steroids and banned substances out of football, we would see a different product, right? I think we would see a materially different product. And I think Goodell and I think I know what I was going to say. So in my mind, this is analogous to NCAA and paying the players, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you paid the players, is that going to make it a worse product? No. And are people really going to care? No. Right. Like you said, if you allow these banned substances, these are professionals. They know what they're doing. If they want to take on the side effects, they're willing to take on the side effects.
Yeah. So,
and my viewpoint on it is, you can't regulate it. So you're fighting a battle that you really can't win because they say the chemists are making stuff that's
can't even be tested.
Yeah, they're not going to test for 5-10 more years.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the battle's worth fighting.
Deer antlers, right? It's just funny to me. I mean, you know.
What do you guys make of CTE? All the talk about CTE. I think it's legit. I don't know if we talked about this last time. Maybe it was a colleague at work.
We didn't.
I would be reluctant to let my son play football, knowing what I know now.
Did you hear what Deion Sanders said about that?
No, what'd he say?
He said he said that the NFL is getting a bad rap because these players are coming after the NFL because there's money involved in it. He said nobody's suing any of the colleges. He was like, you take twice as many hits in college during practice and training camp and little league. Like, you're not going after anybody. You're going after the NFL because they have billions of dollars. And he was just pretty much saying they were opportunists, the guys that were – he's not saying there are no legit cases,
right?
You know, where people are suffering. You got Earl Campbell's. You got cases where
– Junior Seau?
Where it's evident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's saying people are just throwing their name on it because there's money attached to it. I think there's some validity to what he's saying.
And I agree, too, because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they feel that they've built the game. And by playing in an era where they're not getting paid as much, they feel like they should be compensated. So now the easiest way to get compensated is to say, you know what? I'm suffering from the lights go. I can't be around flickering lights. I can't do this. I can't do that. And, you know, to me, they knew what they were getting themselves into when they signed up for football.
Right.
It should be like Little League, man. You know what you're getting. Your parents got to sign a waiver. If you get hurt, that's what it is.
But I think
that's the life you chose.
I think to be fair, right, when we say you know what they're getting into, they're thinking, okay, it's just a concussion, and I come back from a concussion. Now we know what this is. It's a degenerative brain disease.
Yep.
That's different. You know what I mean? That's different.
But to a man, they all said, well, I haven't heard one player say, oh, I wouldn't play if I knew what I knew now, that I wouldn't play. Like, this is the society we're in. We're a group, a society of right now, man. So they'll live the life right now to sacrifice later. They're not, and they're wired differently.
They're not
so
thinking they're about not, 40 or 50.
Yeah, you're not going to be an accountant through your prime years if you know you could play football. You're going to play football.
Right.
Great point.
Yeah, and I think the gladiator mentality also, you looked at RG3 out there running around on one leg, and everybody's just clapping for him. Like, and I'm thinking, this is dumb for him to do. He could ruin the rest of his career. But yet we clown Ponder for not playing, and he got a bruise on his arm, looked like a tiger scratch.
Or Jay Cutler two years ago.
Or whatever. And we knock these guys, and we call them soft, and we call them this. You know, even Robert Smith. I think Robert Smith was smart to get out of the game.
Ahmad Rashad.
He said, I wanted to walk. I wanted to think. I wanted to do all these
Barry
things.
Barry Sanders.
So there's a choice in the matter. But and I do think the NFL probably should have, you know, compensated people better than they have, or they wouldn't have these problems. I mean, you're talking about $1 billion. The collective bargaining agreement, they were arguing over $1 billion, how to split $1 billion.
Yeah.
So, of course, these guys are looking like, well, where's my slice of the pie? Well, just put me on a class action lawsuit of CTE or whatever.
See, what I think the NFL needs to do is don't fight this. right? Don't fight it because you don't want Congress to get in and start legislating.
Right.
Just tell the players, like, this is what we know, right? We'll put it in your waiver or your contract. You sign it, like you said. Hey, I'm 25. I know, right? They've got doctors are telling me that when I get 50, I might not be able to walk. I may not be able to think. Yep. I'm going to have all these. And if I want to trade that for the money and the fame now, we'll do it. And I think Americans, because I think Americans are kind of split. Like,
oh, they're all signing.
Yeah, but they're all signed. Yeah. And then I think the fans feel better. Like, okay, you know what you're getting into. The NFL has told you. They're giving you insurance. They're giving you all these benefits. They'll take care of you after the game is over. And I think fans will feel better about it. Because I'm a little hesitant right now. Like,
I have a colleague who played 2 years in the NFL. And he talked about how they would do anything to get back on the field because when they're injured, their checks are different. So you haven't. It's not like basketball or baseball. Like when you're on injured reserve and you're not playing, your check is not the same.
Yeah.
So of course they're gonna take human growth hormones. I know I'm gonna do what I gotta do to get back on the field. One, because I love to play, and two, because I need that check. But you know, because they, you know, more money you make, the more money you spend. I'm not saying I'm a guy that will use performance enhancing drugs, but I'll get out there at 70% if I'm gonna get that extra $100,000.
And that's a good anecdote because I had a guy that I played with, and I played at a small school, so he was the only one in the NFL at the time. So you can imagine everybody in the school knew who he was, watching his games. He told the story that, and this was for when he was playing with the Giants. He told the story that a guy got hurt, was in the training table, and then the next week, before the next game, he was cut. And I'm thinking, they cut him, they may have paid him or whatever, and then he's done, and we get the next piece of meat up. And I'm thinking, it's very different than basketball in that way. And I can see how players will say, you know what, give me what I need to get healthy and get back on the field.
That's why I can never knock a player in the NFL that holds out for money.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
If you don't get it now, you may never get it. And that is so real in the National Football League because you're literally one injury away from being done. Sean Merriman, like all of these players who were great for this, like a flash in the pan, never hear from them again.
Did Merriman play this year?
Nah, he's done.
He played for Buffalo, but he really didn't play.
He's done. Just,
he's done, though.
He's done. Yeah, they come and
he's
go.
He's done, right.
They come and go. All right, do you have something to say, Tone?
I think just, you know, not to mention the fact that you're not going to get paid, your stock goes down. You know, a team doesn't want you. We don't want a Mike Vick because he's going to get hurt and he's got this history of injuries. Your stock just goes down as a player.
Yeah. Yep.
Mike Vick needs an offensive line.
Yep, definitely.
Mike Vick needs to come to Minnesota.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
All right, let's move to the NBA, man. You know, we always kick it off with the Lakers. Powell's out. He's playing well with Dwight out, and he's getting I don't like it, you know? I thought he had his chance. I thought he was playing really well. I thought the new-look Lakers with Kobe looking to pass more, I thought that was working for him. Powell's out. Dwight's half, you know, 60, 70%. So, first of all, what do you guys make at this point of the Lakers' playoff chances? I think I'm still saying no. I would have said yesterday.
What playoff chance?
Yeah.
I love the last podcast you guys did. And I want to see the train wreck as well, like Jabbar was saying. And the reason why is because you've made all these dumb decisions and your arrogance is catching up with you.
Stubborn.
There's no reason why, if you can't get Phil Jackson, you got to bring Brian Shaw in with the type of team that you have. He knows the system. He knows how to operate the triangle. He knows how to play with these two big guys. Like you guys said, you have two of the top five bigs in the league, and you can't make it work. Hall of Fame point guard and possibly the second best scoring shooting guard of all time, and you can't make it work. I want to see this.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, before I came, I was watching the Celtics game. He had Ron Artest, Earl Clark, Kobe, Steve Blake, and Jody Meeks on the floor, and Steve Kerr was saying, this is really the lineup that Mike D'Antoni wants to play with. And I'm thinking, yeah, you got the wrong coach, right? If that's what he wants, wow. You got the wrong coach, man. What are you going to say?
That lineup fits his system best, if that makes any sense, which is ridiculous. But another thing people don't think about are egos. Like players have egos, coaches have egos, GMs also have egos.
Definitely.
So they look at a guy like Phil Jackson and say, I don't want to bend to all his demands and I don't want to look like we need him. But – and, you know, I look at things a little different. That to me is a organization that at times doesn't handle success well, because your pride can't get in the way of like what you need.
Right.
Phil Jackson suits us best. So even though me and Phil don't get along and I may look needy, I need these rings. I need I got the third highest grossing franchise in all of sports.
Right.
Like, come on, man. But you know, your pride gets in the way, and just like everyday life, you're going to pay the price.
But you know,
man.
You know what that is, man? That's baby Bus, right?
Because,
trying to make a name for himself. And right. Daddy, Bus Sr. he's done everything. He was winning championships in the 80s.
Right.
He's on the team. He doesn't need to prove anything. But Bus Jr. wants to prove to Dad that he can run the team.
And he's sitting in the chair like, I can do it without Phil Jackson.
Right.
Do it with Phil Jackson.
But if like you said, if he hires Phil, then it's not Bus.
Yeah.
It's Phil, right? And we had to go back to Phil because we let him go.
Bus wants to be the savior.
Yeah.
Like, just win games,
man. And the thing is, he's overrated his own importance in the organization because nobody really knows who he is, right? If you would have asked who, you know, I forget his first name, but if you would have asked who this guy was – before the season, they would have said, no, Jerry Bus he's running the team.
But this is what's funny about it. You only get there by making good moves. So make the first good move and hire Phil Jackson.
Right. And I mean, you've made the trade to get Dwight Howard. You got Steve Nash. You've pulled the strings. Now the final, you got to do, you get this guy that's going to get you over the top. And now you're paying the price.
That's the difference in how, like, the Spurs are run and other teams that stay on the top. Greg Popovich is gonna make the right moves. If Tim Duncan's not playing well, Tim Duncan's not gonna play. Man.
Yeah, but to me that starts from the top. I don't even know who the Spurs owner is.
And you
but
know
that's
what?
My point.
That's the beauty in it.
Yeah, you don't
exactly.
know. He could care less, right?
Exactly.
Like, you know, he could care. This is the hobby for him. He could care less.
It is funny because the Lakers are slowly turning into the Dallas Cowboys of the NBA. That's really what it is. You know, you got to eat. You know, just like Jerry Jones is an egomaniac and wants to control and do all this stuff. That's what they're turning into.
You got a lot of GMs that hire people under them and don't let them do their job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Why hire them?
What about the comments? Are we going to talk about the comments?
I was getting to that. You talking about Kobe and Howard?
I wanted to see
Tone, can you pull up the comment for the listeners? Kobe's comment first and then Dwight's response. Hold on. Chuck made a good point. I don't know if you guys are watching the broadcast.
I didn't hear the response.
I wasn't either.
Chuck made a good point. He said that at some point, Dwight Howard is going to have to man up and just tell Kobe, either private or public, like, and we talked about this a couple times. Like, he's got to say, Kobe, enough is enough, man. Like, you can't – if you keep talking to me like this in the press, it's
going to
be a problem. You're laughing,
exactly.
But, like, it's going to be a problem, right? Like, this is going to be – and that's what Chuck was saying. Like, at some point, you know, you can't keep talking to me like this. It's going to be a problem. And Dwight, I don't know
if he has it in him.
I don't really think so.
Because Kobe's an intelligent guy, and I'm not saying he would back down from anybody, but he wouldn't address a lot of players like that. He wouldn't address KG like that. He doesn't really respect Dwight Howard.
I think that's the thing. And I think Dwight Howard, to be honest, is intimidated by Kobe.
I don't think
he's ever played with somebody on the Magic that had that same, not even as good, but had that same, we talked about Alpha Male last, that had that same presence. Like, no, this is how we're going to do it. We're doing things my way. And he hasn't had, you know, it's always been given to him in Orlando. And Kobe's saying, nah, this is my team. You got to take it.
And I'm going to tell you another thing that makes your comment 100% accurate. We're used to seeing Dwight Howard doing the Dougie, shooting these ridiculous shots before the game. He's dancing. He's smiling. He can't even be himself around Kobe Bryant.
Kobe don't play that, man.
Yeah, I get that, but he can't even be himself.
I'm going to say something. It's not Kobe don't play that because LeBron could come there and do that.
LeBron
that's
could.
True.
LeBron would be doing the same little dances, taking his pictures.
But he's
an
alpha male.
That.
Dwight Howard's not an alpha male.
And 23-year-old LeBron would do that.
Right.
18-year-old
LeBron.
Yeah.
18-year-old
LeBron
would do
it. Is done with that, you know?
Right.
I understand. But that's, to me, who Dwight Howard is. smiling all the time, having fun. He plays good like that. He can't even be who he really
Zach,
is.
To be honest, I know that's his personality.
He doesn't.
And I know you can't change it, but I didn't like that part of him, and I actually didn't like that part of LeBron. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up with Mike as my idol, so, like, that's my baseline. And if Mike wasn't doing it, then, you know, I understand, okay, it's a different game, and if you perform on the court, it doesn't matter, but – you know, I don't like to see dancing and stuff before Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals,
you
know?
We had some big-time arguments about that with a lot of the guys that we around and at the poker table. I'm a cutthroat kind of guy. I would personally be more like a Michael Jordan type. But when LeBron's dancing and Joe Kim Noah's face after he dunks on him and they up 30, I don't have a problem with that. I honestly don't. I'm a guy
but
like—
that's different to me.
I'm a guy If I don't want him to dance, I'm not gonna give him anything to dance about. And we even talked about if you let your son do that, or where the line
is.
And
I had an experience with that, so it kind of changed my perspective on things, because I was always, hey, you do what you do. If you don't want Terrell Owens to pull a Sharpie out of his sock, then don't let him catch a touchdown. But one day I see my son, he's playing and he scores two or three baskets in a row, and he did the Jason Terry. He coming down the court, he's doing a Jason Terry. And it was cool. It was funny. And then the next thing you know, he scores again. Now they're playing Weber Park. You know Weber Park ain't never had no. They're killing him. Then he starts to do the Cam Newton. I take the whistle out of my mouth, and I said, if you do that again, you're sitting down for the rest of the game. And his response after the game was, well, Dad, that's what they do in the pros. That's what they do in college. And I had to explain to him, like, you know what? They get paid. There's an entertainment aspect to this. You're playing fundamental basketball. You shouldn't be doing this. So it did kind of change my perspective somewhat.
Yeah, right? You got to nib clown activity.
And it's not
at
that age. It's not entertainment, man. It's you know, you're trying to develop skills and. And,
yeah, there's
you know,
no room for that.
But
there's
he
no
was, trying,
for that
but he
that
was trying to develop his celebrations at the same time.
And see, to me, Dwight Howard was more than just a nice dunk, and then I'm dug in, right? To me, it was his persona. Like,
his persona was
at half court, you know, during warm ups. I'm like,
it
come
was
on, man.
Disney World, man.
I'm like, we got to play, man. And that, just dovetail on the Mark Jackson thing, because I know you want to talk about that.
He's not a killer, man.
He's not
We're
going to
end it with that. Dwight Howard is not a killer.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. Tone, can you give me those quotes, man?
Yeah, you want the little back and forth here?
Yeah,
give it to us.
Here's Kobe on Howard. We don't have time for Howard's shoulder to heal. We need some urgency. Dwight has never been in a position where someone is driving him as hard as I am, as hard as this organization is. It's win a championship or everything is a complete failure. That's just how we, the Lakers, do it, and that's foreign to him. And then Dwight's response to a reporter, yeah, I want to play. Why wouldn't I want to play? At the same time, this is my career, this is my future, this is my life. I can't leave that up to anybody else. Nobody else is going to take care of me. People are ticked off that I don't play, or I do play, whatever it may be. So what? This is my career. If I go down, then everybody's life is going to go on.
So here's how you know that Kobe Bryant...
Go into politics, man.
Here's how you know that Kobe Bryant is an alpha male, right? Dwight Howard's legitimately hurt, right? Like, he's legitimately hurt.
Yeah,
we know that he's hurt. Trainers and doctors are saying that he's hurt.
Dwight went on to explain this. Why would I have to explain that to Kobe? Is he a doctor? So I have to explain that to all of my teammates? After explaining about the shoulder and all that.
And
this is the
is
thing,
he a doctor?
Though. No, but this is the thing. Kobe Bryant would play with a torn labrum.
Not only that, but Kobe Bryant Kobe Bryant doesn't care about Dwight Howard's future. Kobe's saying, want to win now.
Right.
And if you playing hurt,
but that's why you're here, right?
Means you can't play next year. I don't care about that. Like, I want to win. And no, you guys are like, if you guys,
I'm laughing because you're right.
If you guys know any successful people are like, they're selfish and they don't care about, Kobe doesn't care if Dwight Howard can never play again.
That's why they're successful.
Kobe wants to be in the playoffs this year.
Kobe doesn't care if he ends his own career next year. He's playing tomorrow.
Right.
And they sound like two guys, honestly. They're not talking to each other.
They're talking
through the media. Yeah.
That's the worst part about
They're talking through the
that's
media.
That's the problem. Yeah, that's a big problem.
Yeah,
that's a
done.
Big problem.
They're
teammates. It's not like they're on different sides of the country.
That's a big problem. Because when I read the quotes, I thought, that's a conversation for the bus, the hotel, right? The locker room after shoot-around.
Right.
So Kobe's saying something to Jackie McMullen from ESPN.com Boston, and then Dwight saying something to, you know, they're saying, hey, Dwight, Kobe said that. I'm like,
I guarantee
come on, man.
Kobe said that to him.
You think he said it to him?
Yeah, and Dwight's not having that conversation. Or Dwight's not going to say that back to him.
Maybe he didn't say it, but it's known that that's how he feels towards him, and Dwight knows that, whether he said that exactly or not.
Steve Nash is probably like, what did I get myself into? Like, oh, I signed in Toronto, man. What did I get myself into?
And you notice Kobe's not coming at Powell like that. He's not coming at anybody else like that.
He's coming at Dwight's throat.
Because he ain't going to do nothing about it, man.
I think Kobe would be happy to see Dwight show some aggression and emotion towards him.
There's no room for 7-foot nice guys in the league, man, with broad shoulders.
I think Kobe would be happy if he just ran into the training room and pie-faced him. Like, you know, yeah, look, yeah, he'd be happy. I mean. Like, that's what I need to see out of you.
Exactly right.
I don't know, man.
Exactly right. The problem is trying to pull something out of somebody like that is never going to work.
Yeah. Dwight Howard right now, number one in rebounds, number five in blocks, and number five in field goal percentage.
On his team?
He's doing his job.
No.
NBA. Zach, I think he could be doing more, man. Yeah. I really do.
Well, number one in rebounds?
What can you do?
In the NBA.
1,100 shots Kobe has shot, and Dwight Howard has 450.
We talked about this last week. Dwight needs to be more aggressive. That's Dwight's fault, man.
Kobe's like, hey, if you're not going to shoot it, I'll shoot.
Yeah, that's right. Dude, that's Dwight's fault, man. He can go. Dwight can tell Steve Nash, can tell D'Antoni to give him the ball to run plays for me.
You can't say Kobe hasn't been conscious of that the last week and a half. He's trying to, like, he doesn't. Kobe will try to adapt himself and his game for the betterment of the team. When Dwight, I'm done.
It's bad.
and you know, they used to be one of my favorite players.
What do you guys make of the Timberwolves, man?
What?
Did you guys watch, what was the last, not the New Orleans game?
The Spurs last night.
Danny Green, 28 points. They don't look interested. I don't care that. I mean, Kevin Love's been gone for a month now. They should be over that. It just does not. The Timberwolves don't look interested. They don't look like they really care. They don't look like they're trying to make the playoffs. Rubio doesn't look like himself.
Well, we don't look as interested either because they're not going to make the playoffs.
They're not going to make the playoffs. And it's a team that I have never seen a team this decimated by injuries. I mean, I'm not trying to make an excuse for him, but Chase Budinger goes down. Rubio comes back midway through the season. Kevin Love breaks his hand. He's out 6 weeks. Then he re-breaks his hand. Now he's out another 10 or 12 weeks. Dante Cunningham has missed time. Peck has missed time. Brandon Roy, that was looking like an accident waiting to happen. So, I mean, man, when you look at it, man.
Kirilenko sat last night.
I mean, what can you really do? Does this team healthy have a chance to compete for the 7 or 8 spot? Yes, they do. Rick Adelman's a great coach. We've talked about that. But right now, the Timberwolves, you know, they better just play for Cody Zeller. That's a fix.
Better not draft Cody Zeller.
Where does he fit in?
Like Cody Zeller?
Hold on. Where does he fit in?
Come on, Zach.
Where does he fit in?
You don't think Cody Zeller's going to be good?
Come on, man.
Wow, okay.
Christian Laettner.
He's
a little better than Laettner.
He's way more athletic than Christian Laettner, man.
College player than Christian?
No, he's not a better college player. He's going to be a better.
Oh, he's going to be.
He would be a better pro. Christian Laettner was a dope college player. He would be a better pro than Laettner to me. Because Zeller's a better athlete.
You wouldn't draft either one of them. So what are we talking about?
I wouldn't draft Zeller, not for this team.
Really?
Not with Peck and Kevin Love? Where does he fit in?
All right.
You think he's better than Peck?
And back to the Timberwolves, I'm not going to dwell on, like, injuries to average players, man. Like, I don't have anything to say about the Timberwolves. Kevin Love is the best power forward in basketball, but like Chase Budinger and Dante Cunningham, I'm not talking
about
that.
But the thing about it, though, Jabari, is when you look at how the team is built, I think the Timberwolves took the route of George Karl in saying, we're not going to get a star player. Kevin Love, I don't know if he's in the elite level of the Kevin Durant's and the LeBron James.
I don't think he's not that player.
So what you have to do is you have to find a top 8 to top 10 player at every single position.
Yeah, but I don't think we did that.
It's a whole bunch of band-aids, man.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, we need a 3, so we'll get an average 3. Like, come on, man.
I guess my question is, who else were they going to get?
Nobody. but don't get anybody, don't get somebody average and tell me. My thing with the Timberwolves is
we've been through this cycle every year of we've got this new crop of player. Like, Khan should have been on his game 4 years ago, right? He should have been on his game 4 years ago, either drafting well or putting away money for free agents to be able to go get, man.
But I'm going to tell you what hurt the Timberwolves. I think this is the biggest thing that hurt them, and besides the injuries. Not being able Portland matching Batum, that hurt the Timberwolves.
He's not
man.
Making us a better team.
You don't think he makes us a better team?
This year on this team?
He's not a difference maker like that. He ain't even a difference maker on the team he's on.
Batum is, in my mind,
he's an upgrade to what we have.
He's an upgrade, but on an elite team, top eight team in the NBA, Batum's your fourth best player. Maybe third.
Put him.
Right. Maybe third.
You put him on any of the top five teams, he's the fourth.
Think of Batum's game, right? Is he a ball? Is he a creator? What does he do that puts him at?
He's a good all around player. He can score the
Cephalosha,
ball.
He's
better. Come on, man. He's better than Cephalosha. You got to give him. He can score the basketball better than Cephalosha.
Zach, I haven't really watched him play this year, but I would not think, when I think Batum, I don't think score.
Tone, can you look at the stats? Because I think he averages 17, 8, and 5 or something
like that.
Zach,
but that's over 48 minutes. To me, when you say a scorer in the league, we're talking 20, 22. Yeah,
but that's his problem. He's good at everything. He's 15. Great at nothing.
15.6 points per game.
And that's over 48 minutes.
6.10 rebounds.
He's good at everything. He's great at
five
nothing.
Assists.
I mean, what I'm saying is you're not getting anybody. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Right.
And if you can get him, then that's
– I'm not against him max money.
No, I wouldn't have gave him max money, but I'm saying what they offered him I think was decent.
Man, this is the problem with the Wolves. We offer Brandon Roy $10 million. We're rolling the dice, man.
Silly.
Like, we're giving away our first round pick for Chase Budinger. Like, why is that a good move?
Is that what we did?
Yes.
Yeah. Get him?
Why is that a good move?
But who did they draft at 18? They drafted Terrence Jones. Who would you have taken there? You know, I don't think it was, depending on who you take, you know.
What has Chase Budinger done for me to.
I'm just saying he's playing well.
Like I said, man, I think the strategic decisions that the Timberwolves have made have been. They're in this. We'll be the same thing next year when we miss the playoffs this year. Oh, we need to get these. We're going to get five or six new players in that are don't have a history of injury, and we'll be You're in the right. same like, kind of
but
repeat.
KT,
you know.
At the end of the day, are we playing to get an AFC?
Like, and that's my thing.
Come on, man.
That's my thing.
That's my thing. We're good enough to get in the AC. What? So we got Oklahoma City coming to town.
That's a good point.
All I'm saying is, and since we've been watching basketball, only seven teams have won an NBA championship. Bottom line, you got to do what you got to do to stay competitive. You have to you have to do something. Can't just.
We didn't do enough.
And we don't draft well. We've missed on every draft. That's really the biggest thing.
I like that stat, but I think it's a little misleading because to me, that 2004 year, that was a year that I'm proud of, right? We didn't win the NBA championship, but we were competing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like definitely.
Boston in that year, they lost to the Lakers. They didn't win the NBA championship, but they feel like that season probably wasn't it wasn't a failure. You know what I mean? I get your point, but I think that you can be a top four, top six team and feel proud of that season. Right. And we're like you said, we're looking on that, we're 17, 18 trying to say, well, let's be one of the top 16 teams in the NBA.
We're going to revisit this Cody Zeller in 4 years.
Okay, we'll revisit that, man. Maybe I'm wrong, man.
Let's do all-star snubs, man. The one thing I hate when guys talk about all-stars is they talk about who should be in, but they never should be out. So
find somebody to take
out. Right. So to me, the biggest one, I don't know how you guys feel about Steph Curry. One, I think the dude has really stepped up his game, man. Yeah, I like the way he's playing. Yep. I did not think he would be this good. And I have to admit, I was wrong about him. I'm very impressed. But I'm not taking Westbrook. I'm not taking CP3. Right. And I'm not taking Rusty Westbrook off the team. So to me, Mark Jackson can complain all he wants. People can say he was snubbed. But unless you tell me that you're taking one of those three guys off the team.
Who's the third? It's Westbrook, CP3, and who?
And Tone Parker.
Ooh.
I'm not taking none of them three off.
No.
I'm sorry.
That means then Curry was not a snub. Like, you can't just.
Yeah, they throw
only so many spots.
Right.
It's not that he was a snub. It's just that it's one of those things where, even in football, you see a guy have a great season, but if you're in the same conference as Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, you're not making it.
I'm saying, but like growing up, we had KG, Tim Duncan, Dirk. Rasheed Wallace, Chris Webber. Like, come on, cats is going to get snubbed every year, man. Like, right. just because you're playing at an all-star level doesn't mean you'll be an all-star.
Right.
That's just how it is.
Yep.
What do you guys think about this for All-Star Weekend? Force guys to get in the dunk contest based on minutes, right? So you can't. Tone, can you give me the dunk contest participants? Because I knew like two of them.
James White, Jeremy Evans, I knew Gerald Green.
Terrence and I knew Ross, the guy from last year that won.
Eric Bledsoe, Kenneth Freed, and Gerald Green.
Oh, Eric Bledsoe's in there?
Jeremy Evans won last year.
Kenneth Freed.
I want to see that.
Kenneth Freed.
I want to see the manable dunk.
He's a grown man, but he's not a dunk contest guy.
We'll see.
Is James Flight White in the dunk contest?
No. Yeah, You're right.
He's like 30 years old.
Yeah, but
he's 30 years old.
He's old, man.
Hey, man.
That doesn't mean you can't dunk.
He still got bounced, don't he?
James White from Florida, right?
No, James White from Cincinnati.
He played at Florida first, though, right?
He went to both.
Okay, yeah.
Played for the Knicks, right?
I don't know who he plays basketball for.
My guy Paul George ain't in it, man.
Oh, he got bounced,
too. I saw that when he threw down over in China. That was nasty.
He got bounced, man.
That was nasty.
I'm gonna show you something.
But see, Paul George to me now is falling into that category of I'm too good, and that's what I loved about Mike.
Mike was in what, four or five? We can't talk about Mike now, man.
Larry Bird was in the three point contest almost every year, man.
They don't make guys like that anymore, man.
That's not a fair base.
They stopped production in like 85.
Larry Bird entered the three-point contest to show he was the best shooter in the league.
You know these
cats aren't like that.
You know who he went in the locker room and said?
He did tell him.
He went in.
Who's going for second?
Larry Bird said, "Who's going for second?
There ain't no cats
who
like
does
that.
Man. Nobody's doing that." Well, and you know what?
Shot the money ball.
And the thing is,
as soon as he let it go, he got his finger up going to get his trophy. Come on, man.
When he said that in the locker room, he meant business. You know what I mean?
It's not a game, man.
What about K-Love last year?
Oh,
but see, why did he enter?
To me, that's K-Love shouldn't be winning a three-point contest. Like, if the real three-point shoot, I'm not hating on K-Love. No, he got a stroke.
But if
the real three-point shooters are in that contest, the best three-point shooters,
he doesn't win.
K-Love's not winning that contest, man. He's not.
No, he's not.
Even KD's not winning.
If Ray Allen is in it, he's not going to win. If you take J.J. Redick, I don't know if J.J. Redick shot, but if you take him, he possibly could win, too.
Would you guys be in favor of a fan voted one-on-one contest?
I would love that.
I would rather see a 2-on-2.
Yeah, a 2-on-2 would be better.
As a coach, that does nothing for me. One-on-one basketball is like...
So, take
it's like whoever misses the most. Like, it does, it's not...
Put your fan hat on.
No. I'm not a fan.
I would say if it was 2-on-2 or 3-on-3, I wouldn't mind.
I'd love to see a 2-on-2.
The thing is, everybody wants to see LeBron in a dunk contest.
Or LeBron versus KD?
Kobe's winning
a one-on-one contest.
What I'm saying is this.
LeBron will smoke Kobe in one-on-one, man.
Listen, Kobe's ego would not allow. He'll cheat to win. But anyway, everybody wants to see LeBron in a dunk contest. I'm sorry, his time has came and went, and I don't think that he should have did it when he was in Cleveland and got it over with. Yeah. I don't think that Miami LeBron is going to have the greatest. He could probably still win, but I don't think he's going to have a great showing in a dunk contest.
I think that if you're voted in, you should go, and you only have to go once.
The dunk contest.
That's a good. That's
have
a,
to
that's
go
good,
once.
That's a good.
So if they voted LeBron in, he would have to go once. He wouldn't have to
do it
go
again.
Again.
Right. Yeah.
No, I think that's fair. I'm in favor of the one-on-one because I think, to me, All-Star Weekend is stale. Right, like Charles said, like 7 of the 8 guys in a dunk contest, you don't know. How can you identify? Seriously, how can you identify? And then to me,
the best thing they'll ever do is like I was in a dunk contest.
A lot of the dunks
Chris Carr.
Same with the 3-point contest.
A lot of the dunks are they're kitschy and they're
props
niche dunks.
And stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, man, watch those real dunk contests. It was elevation. And creativity, man.
I knew
you know?
The dunk contest was
Spud
over
Webb.
When I see Michael Finley throw the ball up and do a cartwheel. With I knew it was
Nate Robinson, man. That was like the worst.
That,
dude
oh,
had like
God.
17 attempts. Man.
Yeah, 17 attempts.
That's why.
Yeah, it's terrible, man.
All right, we're going to start a new section here. It's called Life of a GM.
Nice.
So I'm going to just round robin here. I'm going to throw out name of the team, and you tell me one thing you would do to fix that team. Tone, we'll start with you, man. You've been kind of quiet.
Oh, man.
Lakers, one thing you can do right now to figure. And it, hold on, the rules are, it can't be a whack trade, right? All you guys know
basketball. Oh, bring LeBron in.
Right, you got to do something. If you say we're going to trade Powell,
you get rid of D'Antoni.
You would fire D'Antoni?
You get rid of D'Antoni.
You would fire him right now.
You go grovel to Phil Jackson.
You think that changes things?
See if he can. I think so. It's too late, I think. But if you ask me to turn the team around right now, yes.
That'd be your big move, to go get Phil and see if we could turn it around.
Bring Big Phil in. Slow down the game. The guys aren't catching up with everyone. They're an older team. And just set up the offense.
Yeah? You think Phil would take your call?
I don't know. That's why I got to grovel.
Money talks.
That's true.
That's why you grovel to him.
I don't know if Phil would want to come in and then not make the playoffs, though. That wouldn't look good for
him. Right, right. Maybe you pick it up in the beginning of next season.
I think next season I would definitely fire D'Antoni, be done with him. Especially if Howard, if you got to get Howard to come back, I'd be done with D'Antoni. We talked about this last week. I'm just disappointed that a professional, right? I could see a professional didn't have the presence of mind to change what he wants to do to fit his team. That to me is just the most, because most professionals, that's the essence of being a pro, right? Like, you figure out a way to get things done with what you're handed. And he's saying, I'll go down with the ship as long as it's my ship. And I'm like, you're an idiot.
And, and what it is, like you said, there's a difference between a professional and a specialist. And that's just all there is to it.
Yeah.
I say Jeff Van Gundy.
You bring in Van Gundy to the Lakers?
Yep.
Yeah?
Right now, to see if they could fix it, Phil's not going to come in and tarnish his, that whole thing. But bring in somebody, man. I would love to see Jeff Van Gundy. I think he has the heart to coach that team.
I like Van Gundy, but I like him much more as an analyst.
Yeah, I like
that dude's
him
by far the best analyst out
He's
there.
Great.
Man.
I feel the same about John Gruden, man.
He's great.
Great coach, one of the best analysts around.
Is he?
Man.
See, I don't really listen to
Monday Night Football,
that
he's
much.
The best.
Dope. Is he?
Yeah, he's dope. He's a lot like Van Gundy as well.
And it's probably the same with Gruden. Van Gundy's so good because he knows so much.
He knows, right?
The rest of these guys pale in comparison to his knowledge. You know what I mean?
For the exception of Hubie Brown, I couldn't find anybody better than him. Yeah, you're right.
All right, Jabbar.
I got to answer.
Boston Celtics.
Oh.
What are you laughing for, man?
I thought I had to answer the Laker question. I'm glad I don't. I'd have fired myself if I was a GM. Boston Celtics, get young. Get young. That's the Paul Pierce. You love the guys, and you know they're your guys, but you gotta turn over some stones to see. Yeah. We gotta do something new, because we're not gonna beat Miami.
Right.
We're not gonna beat Indiana, probably. Like, we're talking for real. Like, I'm Doc or the GM, and I'm sitting at my desk at 1 a.m.
But you're trying being to win realistic. Now, though. Win now, not for next year. So if you're talking about bringing in somebody young.
Nothing to do now.
You think it's nothing out there?
Because the things I have of value are old, and Rondo's hurt.
They were saying KG for DeAndre Jordan. I thought there was some explosion.
No, they're saying Eric Bledsoe.
KG for Eric Bledsoe and Caron Butler.
And Bledsoe's is going to be good, man.
Oh, Bledsoe, he's just a little bit better than Avery in my book.
Nah.
I think Bledsoe's athletic. I think he's athletic. I'm not sold on Bledsoe as my starting point guard.
I'm putting it to you like this. That dude his potential is through the roof. And I seen him score like 27 last night easy. So like I said, we know it's hard to score in the NBA. That Bledsoe's a bad dude.
So you think Pierce for Bledsoe and Butler make the Celtics better this year?
No, this year. Well, I mean, without Rondo, but they've won 5 games in a row, so Doc probably going to ride with it. I think Jabbar's right that you can't do anything if you're talking about right now.
You wouldn't do anything. You have to sit pat.
Yeah, it's nothing you could.
Zach, Miami Heat.
They need rebounding. And, you know, I think for them, I know Greg Oden can't play now, and I know what we're talking about right now, but they do. I think they should. I would even maybe try to get a Kenyon Martin or
something.
They
got whatchamacallit, though?
They got a Birdman.
The
Anderson.
Birdman.
They got him, but I do think they need somebody who can bang and get rebounds. So for me, somebody that can play some interior defense.
So you pick up a free agent?
Kenyon Martin, maybe.
Their leading rebounder is LeBron with 8 rebounds per game.
And you got Chris Bosh on your team. So we'll just not even talk about that. Another 7-footer that can't get 2 rebounds.
Hey, swindle somebody for Chris Bosh.
Yeah,
I saw, and this is last show we talked about his rebounding. I saw a game a week ago. I forgot who they were playing. Box score. Chris Bosh with 3 rebounds. I said,
6'10".
Him and Amari Stoudemire is the
worst. He's averaging 7.
Three rebounds,
he's a European
man.
Player, man.
He is. He's
European. Player,
he's a better version of Bargnani.
Is he that soft? I don't know if he's
that
soft.
Nah, he ain't Bargnani.
I don't think he,
that was disrespectful. I'm sorry, was. Chris Bosh. I'm sorry.
That was, man.
Hey, I like Chris
you
Bosh.
You weren't that far too, off, man. Though.
No, I ain't
you
far
ain't
off.
That far off.
I think Bosh suffers from Howard, right? Like, that's just who he is. And people want him to be so much more. And they see the ability for him to be so much more. And they want to project that onto him. But it's not going to happen, you know? And to be honest, I'm not as sold on the Heat winning the championship again this year as everybody else seems to be. I think that lacking that physical presence is going to hurt them when it comes to Eastern Conference Finals and definitely the Western Conference.
Even if
it's the Spurs,
it's not going to matter against OKC because they're bigs. They're not like a Hibbert who's a threat to score. Kendrick Perkins is really not a threat to score. Serge Ibaka is more of a jump shooter. So I think if they play OKC again, I still think they beat them. But they would have a problem with they would even have a problem with the Lakers, to be honest with you, if Gasol and Howard were healthy. They'd have a problem with
That's because the Lakers, the way they play.
Right.
You said they wouldn't or they would
They
have
would have a problem with them because they're big. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, LeBron doesn't want to bang with Powell for
he
seven
don't
want to
do that. No.
That's tough for him, man.
I would just say, for Heat, rebounding, and somebody who can control the interior.
I'm going to take the Wolves. You guys might not toast with me on this, but before he got hurt, I thought I think Peck is not overrated. I don't think he's as good as the money he's going
to
get.
Yeah, he's about to
I think
paid.
He's a beneficiary of the system. I think he's a beneficiary of us being bad and him being the second best player on a team that's not very good. I would trade for Powell. I think Powell's that good over Peck.
If I wouldn't do that, then I would
actually go ahead and move Kevin Love because I think Kevin Love wants out. I think they screwed it up with the contract last year.
Yep.
And you can get something for him because he's got a year and a half left. So I think you could get some nice pieces.
Yep.
But you can't let him walk. And he's
Multiple pieces or one piece?
I think you could get at least two good pieces for K Love. I mean, the hand injury is not like a knee or a.
He's good.
He'll come back from that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And from what they've said at the end of the season, Portland's about to throw a boatload of cash at Peck. So, yeah, trade Peck.
Do you think Peck and Aldridge work together? I don't know how that works.
Aldridge is a jump shooter.
Is he?
He'd be fine.
He can post you, though,
but
too.
He can bang, though, too.
Yeah, but he's an elbow.
He's enough of a four to spread it out.
He'd be perfect with him. But they're going to throw a lot of money at Peck. So I think you're kind of spot on with trading him right now and getting some value other than letting him
man,
walk.
We'll get a trading for a third round pick or
something, man. trading for a third round.
Hey, we're going to get ripped off. We know that, right?
Man, yeah.
I didn't know that David Kahn was a
clown.
He doesn't know me.
He's a clown.
He was a newspaper writer. It just seemed most general managers I always think come up through the game. You know what I mean? Like they played and then they start in the front office.
In good organizations,
right.
They do.
And then he was a newspaper and then he was a lawyer for a little while. I was just like, I don't know how that happened.
Nobody likes him.
I don't know.
That's true. So
that's true.
Can we all go in on Mark Jackson, man?
Hey, hold on though, man. Jackson. Where does nice German KT
he's
come
nice,
from,
man?
This man is not a politician.
I've seen him play basketball, and I've seen him. And he's I'm not for the rah rah. He talks trash. He's a trash talker.
But he rubbing elbows with the heavyweights now. He got on a scarf and all
I guess,
that.
Man.
KT, one. I knew would have never wore
KT,
a scarf
he got
a, to a podcast.
He got an ascot on in the podcast.
He's got a monocle.
This is unbelievable.
Look at us like, hey, I bring something back every time I go to
Germany.
He got
a European-style shirt. You know when you start wearing shirts that have numbers
what,
instead
is that
40, of sizes?
That's a 48?
No, it's,
Lacoste?
It's a 9 or an 11. What number is it, KT?
Come on, man.
What is it?
Come on, man.
And it's a nice salmon color.
Salmon, right.
You know what I mean?
We're cool, just clowning on it.
They are clowning, man. This is 20 years
clowning
of
hard.
Yeah,
man.
These
right
are my
here,
guys,
man.
Man.
This is 20 years of. You wanted to say something about Jackson, man?
I just want
to
say this, man. That was clown activity.
Yeah.
And I would be upset if I watched the Minnesota Vikings.
Tell them what you're talking about.
Michael Jackson? Went and what Mark Jackson did, Houston Rockets made 23 three-pointers. And they're trying to break the record to get 24. And Mark Jackson tells his team to intentionally foul to go the Houston Rockets to keep from getting the record. Now, me as a fan, I'm thinking to myself, what if we were watching? There's 2 minutes left in the football game. Adrian Peterson is about to break the record against the Packers, and they just keep jumping off sides. You would have been so upset. I would have been so upset. So for him to do that, I thought that was real lame. I know he's an old school guy, but that was clown activity, man. That's the definition of clown activity,
yeah.
And I don't like it.
And then I saw the intentional fouls, and they were down by like 25 points.
Hey, he put his goons in.
What's
too.
The
he
did. Point?
It was the kid from Michigan State, right? It was,
yeah. Draymond like, Green. On, you know,
he put his goons in, man.
Yeah, I thought I didn't like it because to me, and Marcellus Wiley made the point on Sports Nation, you had three quarters to stop him from shooting threes. You didn't right. do it. So, you know, you're going to do it now on some kind of ceremonial, moral, tent. I'm thinking,
Stopping someone from getting the record for the sake of winning the game is one thing, but for the sake of stopping them to getting the record is different.
It's right.
In just such a crazy way like that.
Right.
Silky Johnson, player haters ball. He needs to be right in the day. Chappelle's kid. Jabbar, just real quick, as a coach, what is the point of that? What is the point? What do you get out of that?
It's pride.
Well, that's
you're not going to break the record against us. I wouldn't. Hey,
so you didn't have a problem with it?
If we let you, if my team is going to allow you to just keep shooting open jumpers, I'm gonna have an issue with my team. I'm not gonna have an issue with Kevin McHale.
There it is.
I'm gonna have an issue with my team.
Thank you.
All right, Tone, you want to?
I'm gonna foul my players.
You want to moderate?
Quick, this or that?
This or that? Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I don't even remember what I put
no,
down.
No, I know. That's why it's good.
We'll have to let Jabbar and Zach write them from now on. Mine might be kind of whack.
I think we should all contribute one or two, and I'll pick some out, scramble them up, and then throw them at people that didn't provide them. This is Zach, because he's going to ponder some of this. AP or Barry Sanders?
Come on, man. This is so hard to do.
Lord.
But I'm going to say this. I'm going to tell
you
this right now. That's whack that somebody would even have this down as a – this or that, but I'm going to go with Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders is the best running back I've ever seen, but I'm telling you this right now, Adrian Peterson is on his heels. Straight up.
I'm going with AP. I think he's bigger, and I don't really see that much of a difference in terms of nimbleness and quickness between the two.
He's a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Jabbar?
Tone, you going on this?
I'm going to go AP. I think watch out, AP's going to have an awesome next two seasons, providing he's healthy. It's obviously a very close thing. It's hard to talk about, guys.
Oh, my. AP's the best running back I've seen with my two eyes.
Barry Sanders rushed for 2,000 yards the second to last season of his career. I'll just end it like
that. Pro Bowl every year of his career.
The run against Tampa Bay.
Getting heavy, man. Let's switch subjects here.
Somebody almost shed a tear in the booth.
Oh.
That call my mom.
Coming to blows, man.
Who wrote that?
I did. I wrote
that.
That's
great.
That's tough, man.
That's great.
That's tough.
And it was super relevant when you wrote it.
I didn't even feel comfortable answering that.
I don't, man.
Like, I don't like that.
The mood, no, for those out there listening, though, the mood, it was palpable, man, because the mood did change. Tone was like, AP or Barry Sanders? It was just like, oh, do I have to answer this? Yeah, the mood in the studio definitely changed, man.
All right, this one's going to be Jabbar. Iceman or Dr. J?
George Gervin. I think Dr. J was perfect for that time. I think George Gervin was a better basketball player than Dr. J.
Yeah, I agree with that. Actually, I did some research because I've never seen either of them play a full game. I did a little bit of research, and it seems like to me, the NBA players at that time, George Gervin was like a legit, like, score.
He was like Kevin Durant. Give you, like, 60.
He'll get after you. Whereas Dr. J was maybe more flashy, kind of that, you know, precursor to Michael Jordan, but maybe not as, I don't want to say gifted because he was gifted, but not as good of a scorer. You know, and a game player as
Dude,
Iceman.
Will you stop saying Michael Jordan? There's nobody like.
I love Jordan.
Nobody, no. There's nobody like Mike.
Hey, we've had.
Dr. J is not a precursor to Michael Jordan.
I mean, but
Jordan.
You, the Flash.
I hear you.
The Flash, that's all I was
going
for.
I hope I'm not, this isn't like blasphemy to say, but I think I would take George Gervin. I think George Gervin is he is definitely a Kevin Durant, or Kevin Durant is like George Gervin. So I think he could fit in any era. I do think Dr. J, I think he's a better player than Vince Carter, but I mean, I would kind of make, you know, make the case that they're kind of comparable in terms of being flashy, right, being able to dunk on people and stuff like that. I think that Doc is definitely a legend, and I don't think Vince Carter ever reached that status, but that, I guess that would be my comparison.
Okay.
Maybe that's bad, but I don't know.
Okay.
I got to go Dr. J. I'm not very familiar with George Gervin. They average about the same amount of points looking it up here. But Dr. J would not be a household name if it was not for his flashy dunks.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. He'd be like George Gervin, right? Like,
right.
Just some guy that most people in the NBA know.
Tone, George Gervin can finger roll. Go look that up. I'm telling you.
I'll pull up some videos. All right. This is going to be KT because hopefully he understands it. Friday scene. Pinky and Cube or Debo, Cube and Smokey?
I know. I wrote this 2 weeks ago. I knew they would like it. So I'm going to put this on the blog because I was watching it on FX. And the Pinky scene where he's like, shut up! Shut up! And then he's asking him a question. And then every time.
In the city shop.
Yeah, come on, man. Every time he goes to answer it. One more thing! One more thing! And he's got a Jerry curl. I was not a huge fan of. Was that next Friday or Friday after next?
That was next Friday,
right?
That was next Friday.
I wasn't a huge fan of it just because Friday was so good, but that scene was hilarious, man. And then the one with Debo, right, with what you got on my 40 and stall him out, Craig. Like, that was a classic scene. So I'm going with the I know you said don't be prisoner of the moment. That's what we try not to do, but I'm going with the Pinky scene just because I saw it 2 weeks ago and it was so funny, man.
Oh, man.
It was so funny. Isn't it Clifton Powell? That guy's a good actor, man. I think that's the guy that played him,
yeah,
but
he did
a good job, man, with that scene. It's only about 2 minutes long, but him and Cube killed it in that one. I'm going with Pinky and Cube. Zach,
you know what? This one is kind of sentimental to me. My dad, rest in peace, and my pops, he loved that scene. This dude would laugh, and he would rewind it and laugh all day long. But you know, just the whole Pinky and who he was and. And he said, watch yourself around them corners. You about to make me spill this yak on my $200 suit. I got to go with Pinky. KT,
pink,
where do you think of this stuff,
he had a
at,
pink
man?
Cowboy suit, man. I was just watching. I was watching it, man, and
Pinky,
it came up.
Pinky,
man,
got a pink limousine, man.
And white cowboy boots, man.
Oh, my God.
It was clean, though. Pink stepped out of the pink stepped out clean, man.
Where you at, Tom?
Hey, man, I haven't seen this movie in years. I can't recall this.
You seen Next Friday?
I've seen Next Friday.
Oh, okay.
But not for years, you know? So, I'm going to step out of this one.
Hey.
Bar?
I have like five movies on my iPad, right? And I have the Pinky scene on my iPad. Yeah. Just the Pinky
scene.
That's
a good scene, man. That's a good
and
scene.
And I laugh every time when he get hype and his Jerry curl starts
shaking. Every time, man.
Pinky, man.
Every
it's
time.
Not even. I wasn't a big Debo guy, man. Like,
no.
it was cool, but it wasn't, you know. Pinky, man. It's clown activity.
Hey, that is clown.
That's beautiful, man.
But stall him out, Debo. That is funny, man. Come on, Debo.
And we ain't even gonna talk about when Pinky came up in there. Every time Pinky hits the, every time he's on, you're laughing, man.
Yeah.
Every time Pinky hits the screen, you're gonna laugh.
And I think the thing about Fridays, man, is that if you grew up in an urban setting in America, like, you could relate. You know what I mean? Like, you knew somebody who was
hey,
close to, you know, each of those characters.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Pinky said, what you bringing to the party, Pinky? You got some pretzels? Nah, I got something better. And he started rolling them in. Hey, classic stuff, man.
Yeah, Pinky's funny.
No,
he's
right.
The most underrated character in Friday, I think.
Yeah, he is. He didn't come back for
he's not coming back for four?
Well, he didn't come back for three, right?
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
That's the scene Jabbar's talking about at the end when he started. And he's like, why you fired me, Pinky? He's like, because you was always late, fool. You don't remember that?
I don't remember.
You got to watch it again.
I got to watch it.
That's a good scene, man.
I got to watch it. You know they're doing another one, right?
Yeah, I hope he's doing it.
Yeah, they're doing another one. All right, for Zach, Bar, Tone, this is KT. KT Got Game. Thanks for listening, guys. The flow, I might be busy, a soundboard baby, yo. Some things you just can't cancel, you know, because I never phone need when I give it to your phone.